Good morning.
As we all know, it's time for Bible reading, and it will be taken from the book of John, chapter 5, verse 1 to 9. John, chapter 5, verse 1 to 9. It reads, "After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gates a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roof colonnades. In this lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. Verse 6. When Jesus saw him lying there, and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, 'Do you want to be healed?' Verse 7. The sick man answered him, 'Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I'm going, another stepped down before me.' Jesus said to him, 'Get up, take up your bed, and walk.' Verse 9. And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Now that day was the Sabbath." Amen.
Amen. Good morning.
Well, that was a good introduction, wasn't it? Apparently, I'm a good preacher and a good teacher. I'm Paul's better looking, more intelligent brother. But I want to thank you all for allowing me to be here this morning. I love this building. It's great. I've seen pictures of it, and I was interested as it progressed, you getting it. It's a great building. It's wonderful. I like it. I love this window here. In the reading, in the passage that we've just read, John chapter 5, we see that in Jerusalem there was a pool, and it was called the Pool of Bethesda. It's still there today, but it's just a dry hole now, really. But you can go and see it. And the cripples and the sick believed that it had healing powers. The pool was fed by an underground spring. And so every now and again, the waters would bubble, the waters would ripple, and the desperate, those in need, believed that when the waters rippled, if you could be the first ones into the water, then you would be healed. Well, that's what we do, don't we? When we are desperate, we clutch at straws. When we're desperate, we're willing to believe anything. But whilst they're all focusing on the pool, getting ahead of myself there. And so the cripples and the blind and the sick would gather all around this pool, hoping that this could be the answer to all their problems, to their problems of whether they could walk or to whether they could see. And they would focus on the water, waiting for it to ripple. Now, I want us to pay particular attention this morning to where Jesus is. In this passage, where is Jesus? Well, he's standing with them. He's standing among them. He's walking among them. He's sitting and he's standing right next to them. That's where Jesus is. And whilst they're all focused on the pool, the one who can help them is standing right next to them. The one who has the power is standing right next to them. And he's asking the question. And the question is, do you want to get well? And of course, our man says, yes. Yes, I want to get well, but I just can't do it. I'm helpless. I don't have anybody to help me get into the pool. I try to get into the pool, but someone always gets in there before me. I just can't do it. And Jesus tells him to stand up, pick up his mat, and walk. Now you might have a pool, a Bethesda pool, in your life. You might have something that you are focused on, that you think is going to be the answer to all your problems. And you may say to yourself, well, if only I could be fast enough, or if only I could be strong enough, if only I could be good enough, if I can do this, and this happens, then that would be the answer to all my problems. Well, this morning, I want to remind us that God is standing right next to us. That God is standing there, and that he's knocking on our door, and he's asking us, do you want to get well? So I thought it would be a good idea this morning to compare Jesus to the pool of Bethesda. Let's put them side by side, and at the end we can decide which ones we want to focus on, which ones we want to go to. Do we go to the pool of Bethesda, or are we going to go to Christ Jesus? Now the first thing that you might notice, if your false hope is in the pool, the first thing that you might notice is that the pool is unpredictable. It's an unpredictable hope. You have to wait. You have to wait for the waters to ripple. It might happen once a month. It might happen once a week. It might even happen twice in one day. I don't know. But you have to wait. But with Jesus, there is no waiting. Now, this all happened on a Sabbath. Can you imagine Jesus saying to this man, I'm going to heal you, but today is the Sabbath. So what I'll do is I'll come back tomorrow and I'll find you and I'll heal you tomorrow. No, you don't have to wait for Jesus. There is no waiting. Jesus says in this chapter, verse 24, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. We all know the passage where Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Where are you, Jesus, so that we can come to you? Where do we find you? Well, Jesus says, I'm standing right next to you. I'm standing right next to you. An old man in John chapter 5 stood up, picked up his mat, and went home. There is no waiting for Jesus. It's not unpredictable. He's there, and he's asking the question. Now, the second thing you might notice about the pool is that it discriminates. It discriminates. The belief was that only the first one in the pool was going to get healed. Only the fastest one. Only the strongest one. Only the most able one is going to get healed. You know, our man, he keeps trying, but he's just not strong enough, and he's not fast enough. The one with the most need has the best chance of being healed. if you put your hope in the poor. Have you ever heard people say, oh, I'm such a bad person, there's no saving me, I can't be saved. I'm just not good enough. I'm way at the back of the queue. There's no saving me. I've heard people say things like this. So people think that they are standing at the back. If you remember the Pharisee when he's in the temple and he's praying, what does the Pharisee say? He says, God, I thank thee that I am not like this sinner. Because the Pharisee thought he was at the front. Pharisee thought, oh yeah, I'm the fastest, I'm the strongest, I'm the most able. But look, all I know is this. I know where Jesus is standing. I know where he is, because he's shown us. I know that he's sitting on the ground with a woman caught in adultery. I know that he's sitting at the well with a Samaritan woman. I know that he's sitting in the houses of tax collectors and sinners. Titus chapter 2, verse 11, Paul writes this. Paul says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. All. All men. And the Paul says, only the first one. Only the one who's strongest. Only the one who's the fastest. Only the one who's most able. There is no prejudice when it comes to Christ Jesus. All means all, doesn't it? The third thing that you might notice if you put your hope in the poor is that you need to rely on yourself. The poor is not going to do anything. You need to watch for the waters to ripple. You need to get yourself down there to the water. But if your hope is in Jesus, well, all a man had to do was stand and walk. But how did he do that? How did this man, who has been a cripple for 38 years, stand and walk? He has no strength. He has no power. He has no muscles. His muscles are wasted, 38 years. See, the poor requires you to use your own strength, but Jesus, he gives you his. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, we all know this. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. That's what it means, in his mighty power. Here's another one that we all know. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. We use his power. We use his strength. The Paul says, you've got to get yourself down here to me. And Jesus says, stand up and walk. We use the power of Jesus. Where the Paul says, no, you use your own power, you use your own strength. And the final thing that you might notice if you put your hope in the Paul is that it's very impersonal. See, the Paul doesn't care. It doesn't care. It doesn't care how long you have suffered. It doesn't care that it's surrounded by pain and suffering. It just doesn't care. But Jesus cares. He saw our man suffering, and he learned that he'd been suffering for a long time, and Jesus cared. There's a passage in your Bible that sort of sums up everything that I've wanted to try and say this morning. You might know it. It might be a passage you know. I'm just guessing that you will. We nearly hit it in the Bible class this morning, actually. But it's John chapter 3, verse 16. And John chapter 3, verse 16 says this. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, for God so loved the world, that means that's because God cares. God cares. He so loved the world, he cares. That he gave his only begotten Son. God came to us. God became flesh and he dwelt among us. God came to stand with us. To stand next to us. To be with us. And then he asks us, "Do you want to be well?" If you want to focus on the ball, if that's what you want to do, if that's where your focus is going to be, I can't stop you. I can't stop you from doing that. But I do want you to understand, I do want you to realise, I do want just to recognise just where Jesus is standing. And Jesus is standing with us. You know, this world is a sinking ship. It's a broken world. It's a cursed world. It's cursed because of sin, our sin. Because of our sin, this world is broken. And this world, there is nothing in this world that can truly save you, except for Christ Jesus. And he's standing next to you, and he's asking the question, "Do you want me to help?" Thank you.
Amen.